Okay, ready?
So there is a backup here, right?
Yeah.
Only Fort Max.
The backup is Fort Max. Isn't that depressing?
Oh, dear.
Granted, I'm the guy who has, like, 2 megabytes per second upload, so...
Yeah, it's handy to get the files from him later. Oh, Ken, that's nothing. Mickey has 40 megabit up.
That's not even fair.
No, it's really not. I've got 384K.
No, he uses a Mac, so that's his own fault.
Ba-bum-bums.
Are you sure he doesn't have 40 mega bit as opposed to
byte? I said megabit.
Yeah, he said bit.
Yeah, I have like 2 megabyte, so...
Well, what's 40 megabit? Like, more than that still.
Isn't that like the digital equivalent of a nickel?
I think that's XP's upload speed.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. You know, mine, the one that's held up by the cow down the road.
But enough about your mother.
Oh.
Right.
And now it's time for another Superhero Time. With your hosts, XV.
Does Wayne Brady gotta get this car and choke a bitch?
Hey, Mickey.
Oh, there's a planet. I'll drive into it.
Paladin.
Doc footage saves everything. Jim Curry.
Fort Max.
Phone Cruise will lead him.
And Ken.
Speaking of awkward pauses.
I'm XV, and this is Superhero Time. The best time you can have for less than a nickel. Hey, Mickey is away trying to find the beef, but the rest of the team is here this week. He had it your mom's way. It's Ken.
Now I'm rich with sodium.
He always has time for Tim Hortons, Paladin.
I'm not sure if I should be offended by that or not.
Get the door. It's Fort Max.
What door?
And with 2 all-beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun, it's our returning guest, Wingus.
Let me account out for your sins, babe.
Oh, my. Well, Wingus, if you ever become a regular on the show, I have a perfect quote to use in the intro for you.
That was quick.
Well played, sir.
Of course.
Okay, so we have... Well, there was a toy show in Japan this past weekend.
And
so,
of course, as any toy show with no photography allowed,
there's plenty
there were
of
lots
great
of pictures.
Clear pictures.
There's photography allowed, I think, for some things and then other things. And then, of course, those other things popped up a day later.
Yeah, but, you know, Ken, what a lot of people seem to have no shortage of joy in doing is finding the no photography signs and taking big clear pictures of those.
Yes. Along with
the
item.
Point.
Like a scavenger hunt that way.
So, as with any decent toy show, we have a lot of new figures to talk about this week. Right, Paladin?
All right.
I couldn't ask for better comedic timing than that either. Okay, so what do we have in the Figuarts range now?
First among the multitude of new Figuarts is Deno's Climax form, which is a hilariously appropriate place to start for the original Deno in Figuarts.
And of course, the Sieg wing mask parts will be Tamashii exclusive, without a doubt.
Certainly.
Because you cannot have...
figure itself is Tamashii web exclusive? I don't remember.
Either way, you cannot have a Super Climax without paying your middleman fees.
So basically, they're going to start at the end and work backwards.
Well, after all, Deno's at a climax from start to finish.
Yeah.
Ha-ha!
And if you want to get technical, liner form came after climax form in the series.
Oh, right.
But, you know, details. And actually, since they did a figure art of new Deno prior to this, they really have started at the end and worked backwards.
Yep. They've done 2 of new Deno, haven't they?
Yeah, they did a new Deno and new Deno Vega.
And the Imagine, but no old Deno.
Right. Yeah, for that was still reliant on the Sochaku Henshin, right?
Which are okay, but yeah, I'd like to see it included in Figuarts too, just to get its fair share.
I'd like to get one of the, after having this G3X that Paladin sold me for almost nothing, I'd really like to get one of those Denno figures, because this is a pretty nice figure series.
They got better by Denno, too.
Cool. Well, yeah, they didn't have human heads under there anymore, did they?
No.
That's my biggest complaint with that, and I think that's a sentiment shared by a lot of people with these figures, the tiny little pinheads because of the helmet gimmick. But anyway...
Next, to my absolute surprise, was Figuarts Gosei Knight.
But no Gosei Red!
Woo!
Because Alada isn't even good enough to be a Tamashii Web exclusive.
Well, you know, if they did a Gosei Red, they'd have to sell the next separately on Tamashii Web.
And they probably couldn't figure out a way to keep the neck breaking before. Just keep from breaking long enough to actually get it in the package.
Well, no, what they would have to do, they'd have to sell Gosei Red as a bobblehead figure. Nobody. You know.
What the hell would they do for Gosei Pink?
Oh, God.
Never heard of a bobble ear figure.
Well, you'd have to go to the second personality trait, which is just a big empty head.
Ba-bum-bum.
But yeah, this is kind of a real nice sign that Bandai really does not give a shit about Ghost Ranger anymore.
That's my favorite news all week. Bandai does not care about Gosager. Well, you know, I'm sure the only reason we're getting Gosei Knight is because it's one of Gokai Silver's possible forms.
Probably. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get something from Gosager eventually. It's just hilarious that's the first one they reveal.
Right.
Unless
the entire team.
Did Gosei Knight have a big part in the Gokaiger Gosager crossover? Maybe that's why, too.
He was there. I don't know. I don't know anything beyond that.
Sounds kind of like Gosager itself.
I'm still kind of disappointed, though, that there was not a Figuarts or thereabout sized Gosei Knight toy that could also transform into the lion header.
Head on! Apply it directly to the transtector or something. I don't know.
Good try, Wingus.
They can't all be gold.
No.
But they can be silver, and we do have Figuarts Gokai Silver now.
But of course.
Surprise! And the other thing. What?
Plus yellow and pink.
Exclusives!
Are they? Did they say anything?
I wouldn't be surprised if they were exclusives.
Shock me, but they have blue and green coming out of retail, so...
But those are guys.
Yeah, but they're girls.
And it's Japan.
Yeah, this is true, but at the same time, Bandai does make a lot of money off of girl figure arts, too.
These are fully clothed girls.
Yeah, this isn't Precure, Ken.
Fine, okay.
I'm just saying!
Look, Dawn's coming out at retail. I don't see why the girls wouldn't.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a good point.
Oh, you know, Fort Max, for a second there, I thought you were talking about Headmaster Dawn. hi, Dawn. I know you're listening. Completely lost my train of thought there. Does Gokai Silver come with his gold mode stuff, or will that be sold separately, too?
It is not shown, so I'm still predicting Tamashii Web exclusive gold mode add-on.
Just like Birth's Claws form.
Yep.
Or birthday, whatever. Claws Scorpion. Yep. Some combination of those words is correct, so just move along.
Happy birthday!
And the milk jug, and a tiny, tiny, tiny...
Not the point, Fort Max! Okay, so, Gosei Knight, Gokai things, what else?
Back on to stuff that matters, there's two more Figuarts from Ryuki on the way.
Well, it's not surprising. They're trying to rub Figma's face in it.
Right, so that's 4 down and 10 to go still.
And how many will be exclusives is the question.
I'm guessing at least 8.
Okay, well, so are these... were they shown with their contract monsters at the show?
No, actually, but they still could have them.
Yeah, they could.
Might
prototype.
Not have been ready in time.
Yeah. I'll just be interested, though, if they drop the contract monster add-ons as the Ryuki line continues.
Well, the first one hasn't even come out yet, so... they might gauge it depending on how well the first few do, I'd imagine.
Now, I do wonder if we are going... If there is going to be a figure accessory of Navi that... comes with the hat and Hawaiian shirt.
Doesn't Gokai Green come with Navi? I think.
But not with the hat and shirt and glasses.
Well, still, a Navi, regardless.
Yes, we know that at least one of them is going to come with Navi.
Yeah, because Gokai Blue comes with his 5 swords.
Yeah.
From episode 4.
Glorious!
So, you know, I mean, what could Don come with except, you know, a pratfall?
Probably a box of donuts that attaches to his head.
Yeah.
Soggy donuts.
I want that now.
Coming to a Time Machine Web exclusive store near you.
You know what would be, you know, if they did a Project BM Gokaiger figure that wasn't, you know, the Gokaiger suit, it totally needs to be Don with his pants. He's got the best fashion sense.
What to call it that?
I saw a Figuart Juzo in one of the pictures.
Also Thomas E. Webb exclusive.
Don't care.
Gotta
Which makes sense. All the greed
villains.
Have been exclusive, and so have the Sonozaki family.
Hmm. Yeah, plus Weather.
Well, Weather was almost Sonozaki family.
He's close enough.
Except for that part where he tried to usurp Ryubei. That didn't go over so well, but, you know.
Not really.
Details. Well,
at least he banged Psycho, so.
There's a really... There's a bad Weather joke in here somewhere, but I can't quite suss it out.
And now we're all trying.
This is superhero time. We never try.
We do when it comes to your mom jokes.
That only costs a nickel.
Well, yeah.
No, he hooked up with Psycho, not Shroud.
Shroud.
No, Narumi hooked up with Shroud.
And how?
Okay, this is going bad places, so back to the toys.
Alrighty. You mentioned Juzo already, which is cool. Hopefully they'll do more villains in the future, even if they are stuck as exclusives.
Well, okay, if they were to... Like, the next villain figure arts they do, what would you want to see?
Would anyone actually buy Commander Nepotism?
No.
For ironic reasons.
I can't think of anybody from Gokaiger thus far I'd really want in figure arts form, because I don't think Bosco would really work.
And
what about Bosco's monkey?
Yeah, I don't want the stupid monkey.
Monkey.
No.
Well, since they're still doing another front one from Shinkenger, I'd like to see a Dokoku. But that's just me.
Yeah, maybe. Again, not my first choice. But you're right, I can't really think of any design from Gokaiger or character. Unless they did Instarn in the school uniform, because that's just hilarious.
I don't know, the prince might be interesting, but I don't know.
Only to kick around. Fondness. That's too much money.
Maybe the Sneak Brothers?
Yes!
Complete with baseball bat?
Complete with baseball bat that would be compatible with the little Chogokins.
Yeah. That would be nice. But just think of the mileage they could get out of a Blade Run figure art.
Oh, God.
Would anyone actually buy it? It's from Gosager.
Well, I guess it depends if they buy Gosei Knight or not. But probably not. No, I know the villain figure art I would want to see. I'd want the Gaiark trio.
That makes sense.
But you'd probably only get two of them because one of them's a girl.
Well, I'd probably stop with Yogo-Stein either way, so. Okay, so what else is upcoming?
There's another O's random form. Tajapa, I think.
Yeah, that's not getting old or anything.
Yeah.
It's Christmas O's.
And it shows him with wings. God, that better not come with the wings.
Oh, I bet it does.
That's... Ugh.
Wait, what about a figure arts... What about, what about Bernie Tanaka Mel Fujitsu?
So anyway, what else?
It probably does come with those wings. All the O's exclusives come with those weird effect parts. They had a lot of those on display, too.
Yeah, they had some for the pure combos, right? Like, just the regular full-color combos, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think they were actually selling those. I think they just wanted to show off.
I think they did the same thing for a double at some point, too, didn't they?
It's stuff that they potentially could sell, but probably won't.
Yeah. Because they showed a lot of stuff from Double last year, I believe.
They do a lot of that kind of stuff.
Never seen the light of day, like SH Figure Arts Futo-kun.
Well, you have to admit there's a limited market for that.
Yeah, or Axel Bike Form.
That I could still see happening at some point.
Yeah, possibly.
Of course, what I would want is an XL bike form. Not even just the bike form. I want an XL figure that can combine with the turbular unit for the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Because XL turbular was the greatest combination.
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was one of those kind of things that you would expect to have in a series where there's all kinds of interchangeable motorcycle parts and a guy turns into a motorcycle.
Pretty much.
Okay, so more figures?
Well, and of course, they are exploring the possibility of Go Ranger and Zoo Ranger figure arts.
Also Sailor Moon, apparently.
Well, Sailor Moon doesn't surprise me because of all the Precure figures.
And those apparently do pretty well, enough for them to keep doing them.
Well, yeah, you buy them, don't you?
Not quite yet, but possibly. Lack of money from BotCon.
Yeah, I think Sailor Moon's getting like a big relaunch or re-release of the manga or something. I don't know if a friend of mine was talking about.
Yeah, because Precure is so popular. Why not?
Why not dig her out of the closet?
But enough about your mother.
Oh. But yeah, it would be great if they did get around to doing a Figure Arts Dragon Ranger.
I could see that.
As nice as the Super Legends Green Ranger was, it's obvious where it's lacking in some areas.
Well, it's going to wind up being web exclusive or something.
I don't think Dragon Ranger would.
No.
This is Bandai.
Well, with the Reds and the Sixth Rangers, I think they have a better chance of hitting retail.
Yeah, they're the popular ones, at least from the point of view of Bandai's marketing department.
The only reason Gokai Blue and Green are getting retail is because Gokaiger is really freaking popular.
Right, the series is ongoing. I mean, it's the same way that it went with Decade, basically.
Yeah.
They were able to do a little more with that because the series was ongoing at the time of release.
Same for Double, because they didn't really start pumping up the exclusives, except for like the movie stuff for a while until just recently.
Yeah, the major exclusives for Double were the memory pair sets.
Yeah. Wait.
Like Luna Cyclone and Luna Metal.
Those were retail, weren't they? They weren't exclusives, were they?
I thought those two packs were exclusives.
No, because they're pretty easy to come by, actually.
Well, so is Cyclone XL Extreme.
Well, yes, but that's because nobody wants Kamen Rider.
Well, maybe nobody wants Luna Joker either.
No, when they came out, they were regular price. And you can find them on HLJ and even BBTS.
Okay.
So those were actually retail, which is kind of why...
Which it proves the point, really.
Yeah. So XV is not always right.
I didn't say always, just mostly.
For a while, the big major... Double exclusives were Joker and Skull.
Yeah, that part I remember. And of course, Nazca, right?
Right, but he didn't come until like last fall, or not last fall, but fall before last, or something like that. What? Damn, I'm losing track of
Nazca time. Came out while the show was still running, though.
I think he actually came out right after, but I might be wrong.
No, I think it was our Nazca that came out after.
Because remember, they did Nazca twice,
right?
Technically.
Weather probably was closer to the end, though.
No, Weather, I think, came out when O's was on. I'm pretty sure of that one.
Although the point we're really getting to is that an ongoing series has fewer exclusives than a series that is being revisited later.
Unless you're O's.
Well, that's okay. Because you know you want to pay middleman markup for more Metal Jalibers.
Of course!
But no, I mean, if they do... Figure Arts Dragon Ranger, I would probably actually buy one of those, because...
Of course, that one would be one of the harder ones to get a hold of, because you know the entire United States fandom would crap their pants.
Right.
And not
but it
for
might be worth the effort.
Dragon Ranger.
Oh my god, Tommy, oh my god!
That.
But, you know, if they do that, I hope it has a removable shield, so that we could make our own fabric shields to put on it to have our U.S. Green Ranger.
I remember the removable shield on the original figure.
Which was, it was less removable than stayed on sometimes.
Yes, basically. It got to a point where I had to tape it on as a kid.
Which one? The larger one that came with the Dragon Zord or the Automorph?
The one that came with the Dragon Zord, yeah.
The Automorpher was even worse, though.
Yeah.
Yes. That one, I about the same. That one I used Velcro for, actually.
I think that's what Saban did, too. All right. Back to toy news. did we go through all the figure arts yet?
Well, sort of. We also found out there will be an offshoot of SH Figure Arts called Monster Arts.
Godzilla.
And Mechagodzilla.
And f***ing Mogura for some reason.
And see, the odd thing is, up till this point, Revoltech had been doing Godzilla figures, but not actually Godzilla.
Godzilla, because they couldn't.
Apparently not.
They came out and said at some point, we can't do this because another company has them.
Yeah, that's kind of awkward, isn't it?
Just a little bit. Like, we can sell you the ray guns that shoot at Godzilla, but we can't sell you Godzilla.
We can sell you the moth that grafts itself onto Tokyo Tower, but we can't sell you Godzilla.
Pretty much.
And meanwhile, Figure Arts is also selling the ray guns that shoot at Godzilla in another Tamashii Web exclusive.
Are we sensing a pattern here?
Yes, Bandai is going to rape us all through the wallet.
Well, some of this stuff, if some of the Ryuki stuff, more of it later on goes on exclusive, I'm kind of understand why, because if you look around, you're starting to see a lot of the later Figmas for Dragonite go on clearance. They're not all quite.
Well, what do you expect? They're Dragon Knight toys.
Well, yes, but regardless.
Except that Dragon Knight is a lot better received in Japan than it was here.
Yep.
Which is a short trip, I will admit, but still.
Yeah. They
okay,
got
so
to finish airing it.
So I can't help but wonder if Figure Arts will do Kamen Rider Abyss for their Ryuki series.
That would be interesting, actually. That would be interesting. okay, so speaking of rape up the wallet, there's the Super Robot Chogokin, Decaranger Robo, and Magi King coming out.
Right.
I do.
Both of which also come with effect parts for Super Robot Chogokin Gokaio.
And by effect parts, you mean upgrade bits.
Well, whatever.
Well, to me, effect parts is like, you know, smoke.
That swirly energy crap they pose in the pictures.
Yeah, although I doubt that part's going to come with it, because that would be a really big package then.
Yeah. Last time I saw them put out a big package like that, don't say anything. Hold on. Was with D-Arts Omegamon, and he kind of collected dust a little bit on the online, it looked like.
Oopsie.
Yeah, because his box is freaking huge, and it comes with a lot of crap in it. And it just kind of sat there, I think.
So, yeah, the new Super Robot Shogokins come with parts to make Gokaio's power-up forms.
And if they're continuing with this pattern of producing the Sentai mech that would provide upgrades to Gokaio, I would suspect Gao King would be next.
Or at least soon in the lineup.
Yeah, well, so, since I can't pack it in...
Probably by Engino and... Crap, what's that one from Hurricane? Senpujin, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll go with that.
I'd be talking ass, though. It's entirely possible.
Say what?
Which would be interesting to see, at least.
What'd you say, Ken?
I said I might be talking out my ass, which is entirely possible.
Oh, yeah, well.
I was not wanting to repeat it.
Well, my audio garbled over that part, so.
That might have been me, actually.
Either way, though, I couldn't hear what you said.
Put garlic on your ass.
So it was necessary to get you to repeat it. yeah, you know, those new Chogokins look really nice, but I'm still not really in favor of the price tag that the metal's calling for.
Well, like I've said before, it's not usually that much worse than Figure Arts if you can get them at a good price. Like, Gokaio on AmiAmi, which you can actually still... The pre-order is actually still open. It's not completely sold out for once. It's only like 3,400 yen. And that's only going to be about $40. That's not too much worse than some figure arts.
Still kind of expensive, though.
Yeah, I can see
that. Shipping will be higher, though, so it kind of balances out.
Right.
This is also true. Because it's going to be a little bit weightier. But I really do like the line, though.
Well, I mean, you know, that's good, but just not for me.
Oh,
it's
I can understand.
It's much more
that.
Appealing than the full size.
Well, yes, because it's a posable little figure.
And it's buyable.
And not ungodly.
Speaking of expensive shipping, how bad was that Gojujin?
Yeah, how much did that run?
No, I mean buyable as in it's there to be bought.
Yes, I understood what you meant, but we're talking about something else. Oh, Paladin!
Yeah. Not that much, actually, at least not by comparison.
Did you get it yet?
No, I'll probably have it in time for next week's show, though.
Oh, that's well, why it wasn't. That's why it wasn't that much.
Okay, so anything else from that toy show?
Yeah, the full armored Ronin warriors were on display. Apparently,
yay, more exclusives.
Speaking of rape,
oh, I don't want to think about those. I really don't want to think about those.
Yeah, tough shit.
They're very shiny, though, aren't they?
Very shiny. That'd be
I believe
about...
that's kind of the point.
Well, yes. Yeah. That'd be about at least a collective $600 right there.
Or more.
I said at least. Bare minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a bit of change.
A few bits.
Oh, yes.
And also, we have toy magazine magazine images of a bunch of Forza toys and drawings of some other stuff.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to finish up with the toy show stuff before we moved on to the magazine scans. So is that it?
Well, that's about it for the toy show, unless anybody else here cares about Metabots.
So, the magazine scans.
Didn't
Aww.
Think so.
Metabots had its time. It's over now.
Poor Roku show.
Nobody now it's being sold.
But you
My
know, I would,
soul
I would,
for Figure Arts, Mr. Referee.
I was just going to say, I would totally buy Mr. Referee as a Figure Arts.
He needs to come in a two-pack with Stalker from G Gundam.
Well, that would require them to care about G Gundam.
And that brings us back to Master Asia again. Okay.
Why do I torment myself?
Okay, so since I know Fort Max is going to talk over us until we mention it, we'll start with the food droids.
Okay. I kind of want the food droids, but I don't understand nor grasp in any way, shape, or form how they can possibly work in the context of a show.
Okay. Before we go any farther, this is what I want to know. In a subsequent release, will there be a cake that will be a lie?
Well, given that Cake Boss won't be around yet, it won't be the same.
It won't.
Because, I mean, you know, we have the hamburger, fry, and shake that are a lie already. So, a cake only seems natural along that theme.
Well, no, it will have to be a Carl first.
It'll appear for an episode and then disappear, like half the Candroids.
Yeah.
Poor Candroids.
Well, that's my problem with this. I can't really figure out how this would work in series.
Like he's going to carry around a plastic burger that
right.
turns into a robot. Huh?
Yeah. Some people say it's just the natural progression from the Candroids, but that doesn't mean it doesn't look f***ing stupid.
Or that there's anything natural about it.
Like I said, they look kind of cool, just not in the context of if they were their own line that wasn't related to anything.
Right, they look cool independent of anything else, but I don't see how they're going to work within a larger setting.
Writer. Yeah.
Maybe they're just smoking that crack they had back in the 70s again.
Battle Fever!
Oh, they bring that crack out 80. plenty of times since then, trust me.
Yeah.
Well, they took it really hard this time.
Yeah,
so did your mom.
As,
oh.
What, Fort Max?
Well, it's still not as strange as Hibiki.
No, actually, I think it's a bit stranger.
I don't see anything wrong with the disc animals. Who's eating?
Not me. Sorry. I finished that before we started.
Yes, because Ken is a professional.
yeah.
So what's he doing here?
I think I'm not here.
Well, he's a professional, so I paid him his nickel and we got him.
Oh.
And then he got your mom.
Package deal.
Then he got something else that he had to get medicine for.
Yeah. Penicillin. But yeah, I'm just not feeling the love for these food droids.
No, I'm not feeling the love for us at all, so that kind of evens out.
However, his bike is awesome.
I was liking Fours' general, you know, concept of just snapping new weapons onto him, until I saw there were more early form changes, with each one having four different weapons. Not
That's
so enthused anymore.
Think of all the exclusive figure arts we can look forward to.
Gonna have to like the show a lot for to even look at those then.
Well, at least you know they're.
I do look forward to that. So far, I don't like the Foes suit, so that'll save me a lot of money.
There you go. And, you know, there will be a combo change type of series anyway, so.
Yeah.
But Rocket
Punch. O's has had so many of them that I'm a little burnt out on the whole 500 form changes. This isn't 500 yet, but.
Right, not yet.
like, you know, it used to be the rider would have, like, you know,
Maybe three, yeah.
That's fine. Even with Kuga, he had like...
a dozen.
Yeah, he had the most up until O's, I think, right? Or was that... or to double beat him. Regardless, it wasn't so bad that even with double, they kind of worked it in so that it wasn't, you know, overwhelming. Whereas with O's, there's so many, they can't even fit like half of them into the show.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we got a montage sequence just last week to get some of them in there.
Yeah.
Which just...
Yet none of those turned up at the toy show. I'm kind of surprised.
So basically, they did the entire exercise wrong.
Yeah. It really kind of demonstrates just how over the top that part of O's is. And it's kind of the part I just like to ignore. And then the show just goes and focuses on the pure forms like they always do.
But the best Forze toy shown in those scans has to be Billy the Rod.
Oh, yes!
The toy that's going to get children everywhere electrocuted because it has a realistic-looking plug on the end of the handle.
Yes.
That would never fly in the United States.
Bandai, we didn't want you on the national news this way.
But yeah, between the plug and the name, that's the best toy.
Right.
Then there's the fire hose thing, whose name I couldn't read.
That may be for the best.
Entirely possible. Anyway. I'm sure we'll find
out. I believe that.
I'm sure we'll find out before too long. So yeah, there's the bike thing and its like launcher gantry or whatever.
Robot/robot.
Yeah.
Mecha.
The return of Auto-Vegin. But with bigger hands. And, you know, yellower. What?
What?
I don't know. I ran out of things to say about it, nobody else is talking.
I don't really know. I just... I'm a little concerned there because that's going to be a lot of CGI. And with... a bit of an exception this week. Kamen Rider's heavy CGI in Kamen Rider is not always
problematic.
Have you watched Fies, Ken?
I have not gotten to Fies yet. Everything I hear about it kind of ends up scaring me away from it.
Okay, in Fies, the Auto-Vegin was realized with a guy in a suit, so...
Well, this is true. Oh yeah, I remember that from Decade, actually. Because there was one...
Yeah.
Just watched the first episode of Decade.
Yeah. I forgot about that, yeah.
So it won't necessarily be CGI. It could be a really hokey suit,
But it actually does.
At least not all of it.
It does have the bike attached to its back, so that makes me think it's a little big.
Maybe.
That's what scale camera tricks are for.
Anyway, even if it is CGI, it can't be any worse than Overdrive's Transtech vehicle.
Operation Overdrive?
Yes.
That's
what other Overdrives are there?
I was just verifying that. I've been also avoiding watching that, too.
Sensible.
Well, stick to that instinct.
Yeah, I saw 2 episodes. That was enough.
Yeah.
Plus the team-up episode. But I've actually seen more of Overdrive than I have Bokinger, and that makes me feel dirty.
It should.
It should.
Anybody else lose Paladin's audio in the middle of that?
Yep.
Okay, good. I'm glad it's just not me.
Yeah.
So do we have any other news kind of stuff, or...
Well, you can't... nowhere else, but BBTS has pre-orders for several more Ranger Key sets, if anybody's interested in it. But not many people outside of me are.
No, probably not.
We're not all addicts.
They're not that good at getting in the...
Getting What's in that? The what?
They're not that good at getting in the set stuff anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, I haven't seen those anywhere else.
Just because
except
they're 10 months behind everyone else.
Ooh, your audio's going out a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Heard that.
Loud and clear.
Well, it wasn't loud and clear, but I could tell what the idea was.
Well, it was clear, loud and clear enough.
Clear as mud, sir.
Yeah, that's the show, all right.
But yeah, they do have sets coming out for Shinkenger, Goanger, Gosager, and all 5 of the main Gokaigers. Plus a 15 Ranger Key set for all the other Red Rangers that aren't in regular sets. And you can actually order the chest with the Ninja Red there, too.
Kaku Red.
I thought it was Ninja Red.
Oh, that's a Kaku Ranger Key.
It is.
Yeah, I know that, but I thought it was like Ninja... I haven't watched any Cock Ranger though yet.
Yeah, it is Ninja Red, Ninja White.
I am right for once.
Didn't you see Gokaiger this week? Finish it with Ninjas led to Kaku Ranger.
Yeah.
I don't mean that's the proper name for them, though.
Well, Ninja Sentai.
I'm disowning the lot of you.
I didn't even have a part in this conversation.
You were there.
God dang it.
You didn't defend him, so...
That's okay,
I didn't know anything.
Okay, so is that all the news?
More or less, I think.
I think so. How do I sound now?
What?
How do I sound?
So this week, the part of Hey Mickey is being played by Paladin.
Or Paladin's recorder, anyway.
Paladin, are you on a Mac?
No, he's not buzzing.
There's no Cylon up in here.
That's too bad.
And we don't have the black helicopters.
A bit too? Crap.
Kind of miss Mickey's distortions.
Well, Mickey will be back eventually. In the meantime, we have guest stars. Okay, so should we go on to Gokaiger?
Let me take a second and see if I can try to fix this.
Okay.
Here's a hammer.
Be right back.
Going to go put a hat on your router or something?
Doesn't seem like that kind of problem for it, Max.
Well, if it can be solved without hitting it with a hammer, it's not worth solving.
Yeah.
Never mind, I'm going to shut up.
Good.
I was going to say heat metal, and then my brain started to spit out cyclone. I'm like, what the heck?
Well, cyclone metal's possible.
Yeah, but not as cool.
And rarely used, because it's not as cool.
Well, I think cyclone metal would be cooler than heat metal.
Oh.
See what I did?
Get in the Ponty box.
That's right, that's just how good I am.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, are you back this time?
I think so, but it's getting really hard to tell.
Wow, that's actually very clear.
Or at least really loud.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's clear, but there's a lot of volume.
Compensate with volume.
It tastes awful, but there sure is a lot of it.
Oh, God, don't mention something like that to me after last week.
But enough about your mother.
I forgot about that one, Ken.
Yes. And there was a lot of it.
I'm not sure if I should be curious or terrified.
Yes.
Terrified. It's superhero time, so yes.
I'm curified.
Yes.
Okay, so how about that Gokai jerk?
Let's go.
Yeah, sorry. That too.
I did that at least once.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action.
Okay, so let's start up and get on the road with a fiery adventurer.
So this episode starts off with Navi being too lazy to do another treasure forecast.
Well, that's not exact. Well, okay, that's sort of the case, but Marvelous starts to demand a straight-out answer instead of the usual kind of fortune-telling. But that's okay, because this week, instead of searching for ultimate treasure, the former Boken Red comes and asks the Gokaigers for help in obtaining a very dangerous precious. And after explaining that a precious is more of an O part than a treasure, Marvelous decides to send him on his way, since the Gokaigers have better things to do. Like, beat up on a little robot bird.
I did like they still continue to show some continuity with the movie that we can't see for another 6 months.
Yeah.
Bastards.
So usually when they have those movies, we can just ignore them, because they don't matter. Not lately.
Not this time.
Darn this quality.
So Akashi implies that they can't handle the job. And so Marvelous and his wounded pride walk right into the well-laid trap.
Man, he really knows how to play Marvelous, doesn't he?
Well, that's why he was the chief.
And also, of course, he breaks into ships like theirs before breakfast.
Yes!
But he's only distracted this time by Guy asking for his autograph.
Except he's not even really distracted. He just signs the autograph while he's still talking about the precious thing.
He doesn't like his nothing, like.
Like, he gets asked for autographs all the time.
Well, he's the chief.
But yeah, he kind of plays Marvel's like a fiddle this entire episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bosco could take lessons from him.
The most important part here is that Guy is not the focus of the episode or anyone's adoration.
Yeah.
For the first time in some weeks.
It's about what I thought it would be.
Is someone else writing the fanfic now?
Yes, this is Akashi's fanfic.
Yes, there you go. Get an Akashi fanboy in here this week.
So most of this episode ends up being about Marvelous relearning how to be Marvelous after getting stressed about Bosco and his new ability to steal any ultimate power he wants to.
It is kind of nice to see that Marvelous is not, you know, so perfect that he doesn't get shaken by that stuff, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So well, Marvelous learned how to relax like and be cool again.
It's not Batman, so...
Yeah, it's not like he's really brooding about it. He's just, you know, abusing Navi.
And I imagine Marvelous
can't,
breathe
in space.
We don't know that.
We haven't seen him try.
Yeah, I'm sure with those cheeks he has, he could hold a lot of air.
at least it's not Aerie's ears, so...
Well, yeah, she can fly. So one of the lizard monster things from Bokanger has found the precious before anybody else can get to it and wants to revive Ryuan, the Bokanger villain based on Daijujin.
Moltar.
I was really not expecting.
That was a little different, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's really nice that they actually included a previous villain.
And
I hope we see a lot more of that.
They even made a brand new suit for him.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see a little bit more of it, but I don't want them to overplay the concept. So it's nice. It's like 21 episodes in is the first time they ever do it.
Well, in the Geki Ranger episode, the monster they had there was very similar to the one from the
Actually,
Geki Ranger.
He was this part of the same lineage.
Right, but it's a similar concept.
Yeah. It's just that they're not overplaying the concept, which is
right.
Nice.
Right. And but this is this is the first time that they've brought back a specific past monster for the show.
Yes.
And it'd be very easy.
We hope that we will see other past monsters, like maybe the Psycho Rangers.
Oh,
or the
God.
Or the Gaiark.
Oh. Especially if they pull out the Psycho Rangers, just the entire team, that would be.
But
that would
no,
be
you,
pretty
you,
I think.
I mean, they already have a way. They're Mega Ranger already gave them the perfect way to bring them back.
You mean
but
is it the same way they were brought back in Lost Galaxy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Key cards. Yes.
That would be awesome.
They were never brought back from the key cards after they were put on them in Mega Ranger. So
yes, right.
But you're
how exactly do you open a key card with a trumpet?
He'd find Bosco. A way.
He'll find it.
He'll make them into keys by playing music backwards or something.
But you're overlooking the obvious extension of this bring back the villain thing. Obviously, Blade Run's going to turn up again at some point.
He already did.
But again.
Oh God, that'll mean another ghost. That'll mean a Ghost Ager episode.
Yeah.
Maybe maybe it'll just be Ghost Age Night, so they only have to pay that voice actor.
Speaking of paying voice actors, apparently they weren't interested in paying Amuro's voice actor to do Akka Red this episode either.
Yeah, I noticed he was oddly quiet.
Yeah. No, he's very stoic.
This week, anyway.
But yes, in the course of the treasure hunt for the precious, Marvelous almost steps into a couple of traps and gets chastised by Akashi. And then remembers his own history of treasure hunting with similar things.
And
happening.
Then, of course, Akashi gets pulled back from the same trap, from the same trap by Luca.
Having Luca tag along with that was a nice little.
It had some personality. To
yeah,
because
Marvels was kind of brooding, and then Akashi.
And
was
Akashi's
just,
the
Akashi.
Chief.
The dynamics worked really well, I think.
Yeah.
And plus, if anyone's going to be the one to. Find the traps, it's going to be Luca.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there's Guy bemoaning everybody else not knowing as much about Sentai as he does.
Guy is from Ranger Board.
Oh,
well, yeah, that's possible.
Possibly.
No, he seems to grasp concept of grammar, so...
I'll think I can give Guy that. I like him a little bit more than that.
Well, he's right, too. Even if they had gone with Kaku Ranger, he doesn't have a spot in that lineup.
Right.
Because Bosco still has the Ninja Man key.
Is there a Ninja Man key?
We haven't seen one.
I think they're counting Ninja Man as a mecha.
Which
honestly.
Seems a little weird.
Kind of like, well, was he ever small in Kaku Ranger?
Yes.
Did he ever fight normally? Because I haven't seen much Kaku Ranger.
Yes, footage was even used of him in Master Vile's
Soul
Fortress.
Yeah, but he
Fortress.
Was just kind of tied up then.
Yes, and that he was normal size then.
Yeah, I know that, but he was captured and all that. I was like normally, like fighting alongside them, like, Black Knight or Signalman.
I believe he did that, yeah.
He did, it's just they didn't use it in Power Rangers because,
We couldn't. Because they use only 10 episodes worth of Cocker Ranger episodes. Of actually using Cocker Ranger footage for the actual on-foot fight.
And those were for episodes from before Ninja Man showed up.
Yep.
I'm willing to bet he didn't sound like Dudley Do-Right in the original, though.
But yeah, I wasn't entirely sure of that, just because I hadn't seen much Cocker Ranger. But they seem to just be kind of ignoring him, so...
Anybody should be treated as a mecha more than a ranger character, it should be Ghost A Knight.
Yeah.
Well, though, Auric definitely would be more of a mecha.
Yeah, because I don't think he was anything else, was he?
Well, no. I mean, he could operate on the small scale, too, but...
Yeah.
Primarily, he was a helper Zord.
Dark ever... Whatever the equivalent was, did no ranger ever operate on a small scale?
Yeah, there's Sentai footage of that from at least one episode of Dio.
Huh. But it's also possible that Ninja Man was destroyed along with most of the mecha.
So that's possible.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird to have him classified as a mecha rather than a...
Yeah. Well, I don't know what they're classifying him as. It's just like he's the
but
only
it,
one. But
it depends
one now
on what it is on it. On he wouldn't be specifically a ranger, but depending on what it is on, they could be classifying him as a sixth hero, but...
But so far, we don't actually know that there's a ranger key that corresponds to him.
Right.
Yeah, so far, it seems like Ninja Man and X1 Mask are pretty much the ones left out in the cold.
Well, an X1 Mask especially seems like an odd omission since he was the first number six.
But he barely lasted an episode.
Doesn't matter.
I like to see him as Bosco's ultimate weapon.
But anyway...
Back to the actual episode.
They come across one of those switch traps from Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Yes. And instead of having to find a vase to push over, Marvelous just blasts the ceiling.
Don't you could have done that in the Zelda games?
Even Luca comments on that's a little over the top.
It's Marvelous. That's what he does.
It gets the job done.
Zelda that's games would be a lot more popular if you could just shoot rocks down from the ceiling.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, there are the bomb arrows.
Like
that's not anything.
And so things happen, and Marvelous gets his groove back. What?
I don't know.
So, Riwan or Moltor, or whatever you want to call him, traps Marvelous and Akashi and Luca in the cave where the Heart of Darkness or whatever that was.
Heart of Hades.
Close enough. After it's installed in him, he traps him in the chamber and goes off to rampage through the other Gokaigers.
And does a pretty good job of that until they break out.
Oh
yeah, I would say so. Yeah, it's kind of... odd, though, they were complaining about being trapped in there, but then a few minutes later, Marvelous and Luca can just stand up and use their guns to blast out with no problem.
Well, the guns solve everything.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we got guns! Pew, pew, pew!
No, thanks. Let's move.
And Akashi says that once the Heart of Hades has been installed in Ryuan, they can't get it back anymore.
Marvelous just says, screw that.
Yes.
Yeah, Marvelous is a pirate. Rules don't apply to him.
Screw your physics, yoink.
So once Marvelous and Luca come out of the cave with Akashi, they go and join the others fighting.
And do the full Bokenger team transform, with the Bokenger theme playing in the background, which was really nice.
And actually use all the Bokenger's weapons for more than just plowing through dump troops.
I really am starting to feel sorry for Geki Ranger.
Really,
they just feels like they didn't quite. I don't know. Somebody was asleep at the wheel.
And I liked Geki Ranger too.
I know it's just and didn't this writer actually work on Geki Ranger too?
I believe so.
So it's like somebody was asleep at the wheel on that week, at least in the music department, or in the special effects department too, because they didn't get a special transformation either.
Maybe they could only get the actor for, like, you know, a couple hours one day and didn't have enough time to do a full, proper...
Well, it's not even that.
Why would they need the actor for the team transformation?
Well, for the actor to be more involved with the story, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, the same was kind of Gal Ranger episode. He was in it a little more, but he was still just kind of passing through.
But still, poor Geki Ranger.
Yeah. It was not a bad episode. It just feels like it feels
it could have been more.
Compared to
it's lackluster compared to this.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot more.
So meanwhile, Marvelous takes the Heart of Hades back by channeling what he learned from Molaram.
Well, that fits in with the gun thing from before, doesn't it?
Yes.
But, of course, that doesn't stop Moltor, because he's full of all that dark heart energy or something. His regeneration has run out of control.
So, let's kill him again.
With robots.
Because we haven't sold enough Super Gokai Gold Mold toys yet.
Right.
Oh, yeah, so, of course, there is that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Guy has to be important for something. Even if it's just for really stupid-looking armor.
And then killing him the second time does not work.
Right. And then third he grows big. Charm. Yeah, so let's kill him with robots. And they use the Bokanger ultimate power, which is apparently to get out your old Daiboken toy.
And then steal a sword.
Yes. But hey, it works.
Yes, and it then, does.
And then Ryuan is probably destroyed.
Probably.
Until the next time they need to use him for something.
Right. But Marvelous still won't apologize to Nevi.
No.
Well, no.
He's less stressed about that whole Bosco thing. So.
Yes, and then we get the interesting thing, which is,
Akashi.
Akashi just commenting. This is what you were wanting, Akared, right? Which
is being interpreted different ways.
Yes.
How many different ways is it being interpreted?
A lot.
More than one.
Well, isn't
I would think it would be simple, you know. He works.
Well, isn't Black Condor's actor meant say something about appearing in an episode?
Considering he's dead.
Allegedly, yes, which is frightening.
No, the frightening thing is that apparently Inoue is writing it.
Oh, that's going to be.
Yeah.
What?
When's this supposed to happen?
I would imagine it's probably sometime in the next couple months. Usually when you hear about these things, it's within a couple months, because they only film the episodes like a month in advance.
Inoue's writing is kind of...
it's gotten... ever since Time Ranger or Agito, it's kind of apparently not been... Well, all I have to do is point to Movie War Core.
Yeah, Agito was good. I liked Agito.
From everything I've been told, he just kind of went crazy during Fize.
Yeah, I could kind of see that. that's going to be quite.
But yeah, sign. There is the possibility that it could be used to, bring back Black Condor.
The heart of the beast.
They could just sidestep the issue after all.
Well, that will require using Akashi again, and they don't seem to want to pull back guest stars that often.
But it's mostly about how people are taking that Akared comment.
Yeah, I haven't really looked too deeply at that.
But it's making me think that the Heart of Hades might be used again at some point.
I doubt it.
Maybe, because, I mean, Akashi's already put in two appearances for this show now, technically.
But why does this mean that Akashi has to be involved?
Well, because he has it. Currently.
Black Condor will probably just appear in some vision to somebody. Since he's supposed to
maybe
be
Guy will get hit by another truck.
And meet another douchebag.
No, it would be Doc getting hit by the truck. Because, he would be the one using Black Condor.
Well, regardless, he'd still meet the douchebag.
Well,
here's the thing, is that it's already mentioned that that Akared was wanting it, and that could easily mean that he's going to be giving it to Akared. It doesn't need giving it to Akared.
The Akared comment was regarding
Marvelous. The Gokaigers.
Yeah, because, the Gokaigers are basically Akared times five, power-wise.
Well, it's also the team Akared more or less put together.
Yeah.
Even if he wasn't there for four of them.
Yeah. Well, by way of Marvelous. Marvelous is carrying on with Akared's intent.
It's basically what Akared would have been doing with the Ranger Keys if he had the chance.
Probably being less of a douchebag.
Not the point. Well, if Akared was there mentoring and fighting with them, they'd have to pay Toru Furia more money.
Yes.
So that wouldn't work at all.
No.
So, next week on Gokaiger, lots of costumes.
Including the Gosagers.
Well, it looks like there might be a couple of more brief appearances of these things.
The main plot seems to be about a child.
And there was one shot of explosions, like a monster blowing up behind the O-Ranger, so it's probably going to be what finishes that off, maybe.
Maybe.
And there's also the Die-Ranger, so are they telling another kid his dead mother's coming back into life?
Hope so.
Die Rangers.
That's the true ultimate power of the Die Rangers. To be dicks.
The power of dicks?
Yes.
They already have the ultimate power of the Die Rangers, don't they? So we might get to see it.
Of course, your mom already has the Dick Ranger key.
Oh, they got it in the movie?
Yeah, because I think it was whoever. It was the ultimate powers of whatever actors they had appearing.
Well, that makes sense.
Because then they had Rio there, so.
But yeah, all six of them, and also I think I saw if I'm remembering correctly, all six Zoo Rangers also in the clip, so.
Anyway, it's a lot of costumes and a child story, so mixed
this
bag.
This is gonna be bad.
Well, it focuses on Joe and Guy.
Well, the kid with the last kid story that we had the kid stealing the Shinkinger key. So,
oh God, even an even smaller kid stealing keys would be Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Not particularly, no. Oh, catch this bug.
Bug?
Yes, it's a bug that was crawling on my chair earlier when I tried to smash it in the paper towel. It stung or bit or burned my hand.
Burned?
Through the paper towel.
Burned?
Like chemically.
Oh, wait, is that the one that Mickey said laid eggs in you?
Yes. But I have now captured it in an empty antacid bottle. And it's going to stay there until I catch a spider to put in the bottle with it. And then I will film them and sell the movie rights later. I will make them fight for sport.
In an acid bottle?
What?
I think this joke's gone a little too long.
So in other words, you're going to have a sci-fi original movie based on it?
No, his budgeting is probably better.
Yeah, probably so. okay, so how about O's?
Yeah, how about it?
Holy crap, again.
Yeah.
I think we could just expect to say "Holy crap" for every episode.
Well, I've gone like 3 weeks, just kind of going on O's, and now of course it turns right back around and kicks me in the nuts like it did in the '20s.
Okay, so in honor of Hey Mickey, this week on O's, these three things happened. First, AG and Dr. Maki have a small picnic. Dr. Maki uses his affinity with those purple metals to keep AG from fighting back or running away, while he explains the nature of the greed and how they're driven to consume everything and everyone. And AG is in the process of becoming one himself. Dr. Maki wants AG to give up those 5 core metals, which would save him from suffering the same fate of the greed, that being lost in desire that can never be fulfilled. And he could just sit back and enjoy himself until the greed destroyed the world and consume everyone in it. Of course, at that, AG would say that he's definitely not giving Maki the medals in that case.
Yeah.
And Maki...
I ain't giving you my trump card.
And Maki proves how deeply his transformation has run so far.
Yes.
Creepy dinosaur hands, man.
Or Goto and Satanaka swoop in.
Yeah, AG saved at the last minute by Satanaka and Goto after they've managed to chase off that ice dinosaur yummy a little while ago.
Yeah, with Berth doing his best Tarzan impression.
Again.
And yeah.
And Satanaki in another unusual outfit choice.
Yeah, what's up with that? Every week it's getting weirder.
I'm not really complaining.
I kind of am this week. This style just does not suit my taste.
Yeah, I can deal with it.
I miss the vaguely Baroness suit she used back in episode 20.
The leather and shotgun.
She needs
thing.
To use a boa at some point.
Boa?
And this way she will.
No, like, Kogami's gonna let her into his boa collection.
Yeah, just come out with, like, Kogami suits.
No, he would stand by and let her steal it, because it would be fulfilling her desire.
No, he loves his boas too much.
From the looks of things, I'm guessing he's showing her a different kind of boa.
Nice, killed Lingus.
Wow.
I can breathe, I swear.
If you can cough, you can breathe. well, that's
not at the same time.
That's the rule of choking I always heard. If you can cough, you're still breathing. You may not be inhaling very much, but your airway is clear enough to get air through.
Huh. Good to know.
Things you learn on Superhero Time.
Of course, I'm not going to stand by that, Ken, if you end up, you know, choking to death one day in the middle of coughing.
also good to know.
So next, Goto brings Hina and Shingo up to speed about what's happening with Eiji, for some reason back in that apartment in the back of the restaurant, after overhearing Dr. Maki expositing it all a little earlier. Hina is
Maki's
appropriately...
supervillain, all right.
What?
I said Dr. Maki's a supervillain, all right.
Hina is appropriately freaked out by the idea and is determined that Eiji needs to stop fighting right away. Eiji, meanwhile, is noticing the effects Dr. Maki explained to him, as he thinks his fresh roasted fish tastes like used gum.
Yummy.
And of course, meanwhile,
Gamold's eating a bunch of food, and then he'd say one of those little ball and cup toys.
Yeah, in the greenhouse, Gamold is enjoying his candy and toys with Mezul.
Yes.
Which... It's kind of like they realized they came up with that plot point, and they realized, wait, Gamal eats all the time. Oh, I know what we'll do.
So Kazali looks on, remarking what an idiot he is, and then asks.
Oh, well, he does that all the time with Gamal.
Yeah. And then
everybody
asks,
does that all the time
with Gamal. Poor Gamal.
I like Gamal.
And of course, on all the food he offers Mezul, she just tosses to the side.
Because she's not getting any use out of it either way.
Anybody find it kind of odd we haven't seen her human form for a couple episodes? Everybody else has been in human form except her.
No, I'm fine with it because it's less creepy when she hits on Dr. Maki that way.
Yes, it certainly is. It just did the actress just up and quit all of a sudden?
Well, she probably had to be in school or something. Well, she's only 14.
Yes, this is true.
So Kazali asks Ankh why he hasn't gone to get his missing medal yet, but Dr. Maki's actually out making arrangements for that already. And he instructs his yummy to cause havoc to draw out O's. So the next day, the yummy finds a crowded plaza and freezes many people in their tracks, demanding that they call out to O's.
Who
but nobody has any O's. Idea. Nobody has any idea who O's is. And this is not going very well so far. But the yummy has a way to deal with that. He freezes one guy head to toe and then smashes him into little pieces.
Murder and mayhem. Only on Sunday
morning
on TV Asahi.
So, in fear for their lives, everybody else starts calling for O's just because they have no other idea what to do.
Well, that's natural for Japan.
Yeah. AG's running toward the scene. Apparently he either had no cell metal or could not find a ride vendor to get.
Even though he fixes that problem 5 minutes later, but...
Well, whatever. But he's stopped along the way by Hina and Shingo. As they hear the people calling in the distance, Hina tells Eiji not to go and actually tries to hold him in place. But eventually, Eiji gets away and uses Ratarata to get going quicker.
And to break the ice when he finally gets there.
Yes. Yes, finally, Oz makes his flashy public appearance and frees the hostages, urging them to run away from there while Goto engages the yummy. As the people are cleared away, Ankh arrives. Eiji goes into Putoterra, but can't match Ankh's power until he allows Putoterra to beast out, growing its wings and tail.
You know, it's a good thing that Kazali wasn't there, considering he just let the yellow metals go flying off in several different directions.
Yeah, I thought of that, too. But this is the, like, most badass part of the episode, when the fight moves to the air, and Eiji easily clips off Ankh's wings.
When it moves to the air and does not look like crap, actually.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good fight.
Yeah.
And a brutal fight at that.
He sends him crashing back to the street, where Eiji grabs the Chomp Axe out of the ground and destroys some of Ankh's core metals.
Somebody's going to be pissed.
So Ankh's body explodes in a shower of core and cell metals.
And meanwhile, Birth kills that ice yummy by shooting it point blank with the breast cannon.
So go
that
to
was a great perspective shot too.
Yes.
The breast cannon
just pops out into the guy's face, like, and it's like you can almost see the oh shit on that plastic face.
Yes.
It was this whole fight sequence was so well directed.
And also now Goto is now officially more effective against the purple yummies than Date was.
Well, he read the instructions.
That's true.
Yeah, meanwhile Date would spend 5 minutes blown up about a dozen charges in the breast cannon.
Or trying to wrestle with it.
On the other hand,
grabbing some Odin.
He was trying to fight like it was an Ultraman monster.
I do kind of miss Date's fighting style some of the time, though.
I do, but Goto is more efficient, I think.
Yes, Goto is more down to business about the whole thing. But that's just Goto's personality.
I think Date just kind of had fun with it sometimes.
Yeah. Well, he had fun with everything.
This is true.
Especially your mother.
Huh.
Well.
Who wouldn't want Date as their dad?
I can't really complain with that one.
So Eiji is still in the berserker state, but is trying to reach out for control again. Just as it seems he might start rampaging some more, Hina appears and takes Eiji's hand, pulling him back to his senses. And then Ankh's metals glow, and pull together the cell metals, forming a right arm, and then a copy of Shingo's body. Ankh relates his thanks for destroying his imposter, and then comes face to face with Shingo. And he's got his murdering face on again.
Isn't that just his default face?
Yes.
Well, there's his pissed off face, and then there's his I'm going to come this close to murdering you face.
Except this looks a little more serious than that.
This is not going to end well.
This is the you took my popsicles face.
And all throughout this process, Kogami has been acting a little more odd than usual. And certainly...
His hair's messed up.
And certainly seems to be a little fixed on some of what went down with King O's back then.
And yeah. He's also wearing a suit he's worn before.
Travesty.
This is how you know shit's going down.
Yeah, I would say future developments in the few episodes we have left are going to be quite interesting.
What is that? Only what? Six episodes left? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
Right down to the wire.
Ooh. Yeah, next week looks interesting.
That's one way to put it.
Well,
it can't be interesting.
Part of next week.
The best thing about that is that Uva's in it, and the preview does not even call attention to it. He's just there.
Well, that's kind of what Uva does.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Uva. I'm standing over here.
Behind Ankh.
It's okay, Uva. I like you.
I like his design. I like his combo.
But, that's you know. Yeah. The best thing Uva ever did was his cell metal laundering operation.
Yeah, that was pretty efficient.
Yeah,
it
was efficient, but not especially interesting.
Right, but that's the reason why it was efficient.
Right. Uva still found the most boring...
Something no one would pay attention to.
He still found the most boring way possible to amass cell metals.
Yet the most effective way, so...
Oh, well, yeah, of course, he's not making a yummy to go that's going out like crazy and rampaging. He's just... Those to a debt collection agency.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then again, he was also at a point
giant
where...
Giant neon sign that says, O's come kill me.
Yeah, that's about right.
I believe he was also at a point, though, that if he had been doing flashy things, he risked it.
Because Ollie would kill him utterly.
Yeah, or O's.
Which he did, anyway.
Yeah, Uva really had to hide from both sides. He was in a difficult fix right there.
But yes, next week, Ankh is not doing nice things.
Well, he never does nice things.
Especially not nice things.
Well, you know, he's probably kind of upset because he doesn't have a body where he can taste ice cream anymore.
Yeah. No, it looks like he's trying to fix that.
Well, okay, here's the thing.
That'd be funny if that was the only reason he wanted Shingo's body.
Probably is. But here's the thing. The body that Ankh has formed now, is it the human form for his greed body, or is that just the body he formed because he's used to it?
That's interesting. Well, he has 5 cores now since AG destroyed a couple of them, which I don't think he's going to take very well, actually.
Well, right now he's just thankful to have the other Ankh gone.
Oh, yes, but eventually that's going to probably... stick out as
a bad thing.
He's not going to be entirely happy about the fact he can only have what AG destroyed. What, 2 or 3 of them?
At least 3.
It looks like a full set.
So which... yeah, he can only have 6 maximum core metals. That's probably not going to make him very happy in the end.
I wouldn't think. But from what the preview is saying, it sounds like he wants to become the vessel for the purple metals.
It also makes me think that means we won't see Tajidoru again.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that too, because Tajidoru was the equivalent of Fang Joker, and by this point, Double Fang Joker was over with too.
Well, Fang That's Joker really sad. Was over with by, you know, what, after the weather episode, they used it maybe twice?
Yeah, because they had gotten extreme and they didn't need Fang Joker to be the strong form anymore.
Yeah.
In the movie once, but that was more of a situational thing. Yeah.
And he got his ass kicked.
Yeah, but that's because Eternal is hacks.
Yeah.
Darn your zombie David Bowie.
For more on that, see next week's show. I hope Forza turns out to be good.
It won't.
Well, it's. I mean, it's got a good director.
That's what you were saying about O's.
No, I didn't really care about O's when it started.
And it's just because you don't like the costume designs and the merchandise doesn't mean the show will be bad.
Yeah, it's got a good director. It's got a good writer. So hopefully, you know, they can...
Rocket Punch!
Those can even out the thing.
And
better.
Also it has space.
Space.
And also it has a jackhammer kick.
Just think of it like Mega Ranger, Kamen Rider style. Maybe. With less video games.
Yeah, you're probably not helping yourself there, Ken.
I like Mega Ranger, thank you.
Well, whatever. No, Mega Ranger is fine. I just wish there was more of it subbed. Okay, so how about we take a break and then we'll do other things?
Yeah, other things.
Bless your mother.
Yeah. Break, review, power playback, that normal sequence.
We going to go into space?
What? What?
Space.
Space balls.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, y'all, is Street Fighter 3.
Welcome again to Paladin's Place. For a long time now, the loyally insane followers of Superhero Time have heard me ramble about the quality of SH Figuarts toys, which remain the benchmark of excellence in tokusatsu hero merchandise. At the same time, most economically minded collectors have probably been wishing for an American alternative. Well, for a little while that option did exist. The year 2008 was subject to rare cosmic alignments, resulting in several unusual yet entertaining events. First and foremost being Bandai of America's production of a toy series that people actually wanted to buy. Power Rangers Super Legends. The exact circumstances behind the creation of this line remain a mystery, but apparently someone at Bandai America chose to include a series of chase figures with their new Jungle Fury toys as a way to boost sales. The characters selected for Super Legends release were appropriately enough legendary characters from the golden age of Power Rangers. Starting with everybody's favorite supporting hero, the Mighty Morphin Green Ranger.
Alright, now let's go get him!
The chase strategy certainly worked for me. I put forth every effort to find this Green Ranger as soon as the line began. So let's take a look at this unique offering from Bandai America. Super Legends action figures are about 5 inches tall, putting them nicely in scale with the Figuarts I mentioned so often, and the paint detailing on these is well above average for an American series. It's also nice to see Ranger figures with generally human proportions as opposed to the over-muscled hulks we saw in previous commemorative lines. Another item of note in this chase series is the packaging. Bandai reused the distinctive green card back and iconic Power Rangers logo for these, giving this item the look and feel of something left over from the good old days. Green Ranger's articulation is mostly impressive, but falls flat in a few areas. There's no movable waist and no rotation in the ankles, prohibiting some combat poses. Green Ranger does have full movement in upper arms and some decent flexibility connected to the hips. Almost reminds me of someone's mother. Moving on, Super Legends Green Ranger comes with his two signature accessories. The Dragon Dagger, which is sadly unpainted and seems much smaller than it should be, but thankfully Green Ranger's hands are still sculpted well enough to hold this weapon. And, of course, the Dragon Shield, which at first appears as a solid piece, but it is actually removable, and it does fit nicely onto similarly sized action figures. Overall, this version of Green Ranger is a very impressive piece of merchandise, and definitely a must-have for any Power Rangers collectors, offering a great balance of visual detail and physical play value. With more releases like this, Super Legends could have been Bandai America's greatest production. But unfortunately, the cosmic storm that led to Super Legends' creation faded out just as quickly as it began. There were only half a dozen figures made in this series, and most of them were very difficult to find, especially towards the end of its run. The series never really got the respect it deserved during release, but now I encourage all Ranger fans to try and track down at least one release from the Super Legends and add it to your shelves. The result will definitely be worth it. You'll thank me. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time!
Timmy Pete's Real Bread Mayonnaise.
From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio, informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
Superhero Time, where your mom jokes go to die. You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time.
So it's time for Jungle Fury. Or really, more like Jungle Furry, am I right?
Oh, God, why?
Furries.
I was fine up until that point.
So, there's some discord and leadership shakeups in the villain layer this episode, and Daishi loses a comfortable chair. But more importantly, RJ wakes up in a pile of garbage.
See, this is kind of appropriate, considering he's the best character in this show, and he's already surrounded by garbage.
Consider for a moment that I don't think I've seen an entire episode of Jungle Fury before. So this is what I come into. Parts of an episode. I was wrong before. I had said I had seen an episode. I realized that it was not the entire episode.
I haven't seen any parts of an episode of Jungle Fury.
Neither had I.
Our first impression of any ranger is him waking up in a pile of garbage. Just to set the scene.
Well, see, a little while back, Daishi had RJ in the fight club and tried to rip the animal spirit out of him. And ever since then, that wolf spirit RJ has been trying to run out of control, largely in the form of turning RJ into a werewolf.
A very, very crappy-looking werewolf.
Well, you can blame Geki Ranger for that, because they got the costume from Japan.
Yeah, that happened to Geki Violet at some point, too, right?
Yeah, around the 30s.
Yeah, I was going to say, 20s. Yeah, they're, even the Beetleborgs Wolfgang costume will look better.
Well, at least the Beetleborgs, the Beetleborgs Wolfgang costume looked like a movie monster costume, which was the whole point, so yeah. It worked.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of overall quality of looking like a wolf, I'd say they're about equal. Just in different ways.
Beetleborgs has a better costume than you, there's a f***ing problem.
Yes, that's what I was about to say.
That's a perfectly valid point I cannot disagree with.
And of course, Beetleborgs was from around the same time as Turbo, which Turbo's villain costumes were
horrible.
Way better than the Car Ranger costumes. But of course, Turbo also got to spend movie budget money on
right.
those.
I mean, we talked about that when we talked about the Turbo movie, and that yeah. they probably, padded some of that in just for this purpose.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they couldn't retain the American Zord cockpit set, because that was built on the like Fox Studios lots or whatever, and they didn't have access.
Which is a shame, because that was a very nice cockpit.
Yeah. Of course, if they used that, they would have had to spend more money to film original scenes, too.
Yeah, this is also true.
Yeah, though they also did get a nice new Alpha costume and new power chamber set out of it. So.
Oh, redecorated power chamber set. I mean, they just kind of dressed it up a little bit.
No, there was a lot of other stuff about it.
There was a lot of work done to it, I think.
Yeah, on just about everything about it changed. On.
And then they blew it up.
Yeah, on even even the tube, it's even the Zordon and Demetrius tube was completely changed. It's just that couple episodes of Turbo reused some Zeo stock footage for Zordon's tube. So.
Oh, it's just the basement.
Yeah. Yes. Power chamber in the basement.
Just the context.
Okay, so after seeing a news report about people being attacked by a big hairy animal with very sharp claws, RJ decides he's too dangerous to stay around the Rangers and people in general, and decides to take off. But after a coincidental encounter with the newest Rinchi monster, the Rangers catch up with him, just in time to see RJ transform into Wolfman. And of course, then they have the stunning realization that, hey, that's the wolf we fought earlier.
Well, duh.
So, Monkey Doo takes... What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Monkey Doo takes off, leaving the Rangers to get mauled by RJ instead. But RJ quickly recovers and is taken back to the pizza place. He brings the Rangers up to speed, sort of, and tells them all to keep away from him. That'll be easy, because Monkey Thing is attacking again. And so they leave the defenseless Fran to guard the unpredictable werewolf.
Oh, they just wanted her to die by this point.
This seems like a very good idea.
Yeah.
That monkey monster also kind of makes me appreciate the fact that I'm currently watching through RPM, and none of the monsters there actually speak most of the time.
The monkey is even more annoying than Bosco's monkey. I didn't think it was possible.
Stupid monkeys.
Bosco's monkey is funny.
Well, you know, if Bosco's monkey talked, it would be just as annoying.
It would.
So just be happy that Sally is not intelligent.
Well, actually, Sally is...
Not intelligent in that way, anyway.
Yeah.
She's a Chewbacca.
Okay.
Or he. I don't know.
She's an Ewok.
Oh, God!
I guess Bosco would shoot first.
Actually, Bosco frequently shoots first.
Yes.
He would shoot you as soon as you walk in the bar before you even noticed him.
Basically, no, yeah. Bosco would be watching out the window and shoot you before you get close to the door.
And then play the trumpet at your funeral.
And rip out your ultimate power in the process.
Or your soul.
Does the ultimate Same power difference. Survive being killed?
Depends on whose ultimate power it was.
Yeah, I guess.
Considering that
Guy is powered by dead people.
For three dead guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point. Okay.
But then again, it's just Guy.
Yeah, Guy is special. Guy is our special spastic silver man. Hello, England.
Careful with that word.
So
our special overrun. Silverman.
RJ's having a hard time keeping his wolf spirit under control, and while Fran isn't looking, he transforms again. Fran tries to talk him down, but despite trying to keep a brave face while reaching out for the RJ hidden under the fursuit, Wolf RJ knocks her to the floor and stops only inches from dealing a powerful blow right to her face.
And it looks like she's about to get her salad tossed.
That's a good way to put it.
I realize that Power Rangers acting is not really always the best, but that scene is kind of bad.
It's about on par with the rest of Jungle Fury.
This is good to know.
Pretty
Except
much.
Except for RJ. He's kind of cool in normal episodes.
Yeah, yeah, RJ does seem like the most interesting character of the bunch.
RJ and Ziggy could have a great series together.
Oh man, that'd be awesome.
So it seems like Fran's natural freak out from being moments away from a painful demise snapped RJ back into control of himself and his animal spirit. with the problem apparently over with, almost inexplicably, he dashes out to help the Rangers fight, but not before taking a glowing purple box with him.
Gee, I wonder what that is.
I bet it's radioactive.
Dinosaur metals.
Now, before you get to that part, I have to ask, as somebody who hasn't seen much Jungle Fury, was that box ever shown before?
Nope.
Was the cupboard it was in ever shown before?
Probably
not.
That's unfortunate. Okay, carry on.
However, in previous episodes, they have shown RJ using his spirit powers with a purple coloring, so...
Yeah, but that's not quite...
No, it's not quite the same, but, I mean, it's in the line of thought.
It's the most you could expect from this show.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate for what's about to come out of his ass, then.
They already pulled the whole story out of their ass, so why should...
I should RJ stop there.
Well, and you know, Geki Violet was a character that came out of nowhere. At least RJ has been around for a while.
Oh, this is true. Still, that doesn't mean they can't hope to aim higher.
I guess. So the Rangers are getting beat pretty soundly, but RJ's arrival briefly turns the tide. Just long enough for everyone to be amazed and RJ to produce a new toy. Unfortunately, he has the shinier Japanese version and not the one you could actually buy at Toys R Us.
So no sunglasses.
And probably still buy at Toys R Us.
Yeah, probably so. So now morphed into the Wolf Ranger, RJ goes about ass-kicking and single-handedly defeats Monferno.
Who needs a team?
Well, then the giant battle starts, and Monkey Doo immediately targets the Megazord's cheetah leg.
Who needs a girl?
The Backlash beacons Lily, and she's unable to keep the Cheetahzord materialized, or something like that. But RJ rushes to the rescue again with his Wolf Zord. And after a quick bite and slash attack, he links up with the others to form the Jungle Wolf Megazord, completely defeating the naming scheme.
least now they got a leg up on the situation.
Oh! So using the Tailblade for a spinning kick-themed finish, they defeat the Flaming Monkey Thing.
Flaming Monkey Thing.
Yes, Flaming Monkey Thing.
It's his official name.
Better than the official name.
I think the official name was Monkiwi.
It's better than the official name.
Exactly.
Monkey Doo is better than the official name. Because, you know, Monkey See.
Oh, God.
That hurts worse than the acting.
That's a feat there.
So, back at Villain Central, Daishi is depressed over being usurped and being unable to keep up with the increasing power of everybody else. His rage helps him begin to become a Super Saiyan. Or unlock the next stage of his power or something, whatever.
Same difference.
Same difference.
Yeah. And the episode ends with RJ having appeared to turn fully into a wolf, but haha, no, it's just RJ sitting for someone's really badly trained dog.
Randomly.
Yes.
This show has a lot of randomness, I take it.
Yes.
Pretty random.
Goody.
And probably the biggest disappointment here is that they cut out most of the details for the Geki Violet finisher.
Hmm? What?
The boxing ring, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because in Geki Ranger, Geki Violet's fighting style is supposed to be based kind of on Muay Thai, which isn't a boxing ring.
And is considered too violent for American audiences.
Yeah. Also, probably too obscure.
Did they, because I can't really tell much in this episode, because I guess, again, because they kind of nerfed Geki Violet style. Geki Ranger, what I have seen, pays a lot of attention to the fighting styles. Does Jungle Fury pick up on that at all in the US scenes, or is it just kind of generic martial arts?
That's right.
Damn it. See, and this is, again, coming off of RPM, where every character actually does, in the U.S. scenes, have a specific fighting style.
You know what else bugged me about this Jungle Fury episode? And really, it's not just Jungle Fury, it's the Sentai adapted from this period of time in general, where, you know, it's all shot in widescreen in Japan, and then when they use the Sentai footage in the U.S. sequences, half the time they just compress it to fit the 4x3 format.
Yeah, so everything's squished, or they crop it so that things are cut off.
Right, in fight scenes like there was between Daishi and Grisaka at the beginning of the episode, you know, it was moving too fast to crop it effectively, if cropping can ever really be effective.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very obviously squished in place.
Yeah.
That kind of bugs me.
I think it did slightly better from what I've seen so far in RPM occasionally, but it's still...
It still happened and you could still see it.
Yeah,
RPM
you can still
got
tell.
Around it by you using... by not using very much Japanese footage that wasn't of the Zords.
Yeah, yeah, I've noticed it's mostly just 80% US, or U.S. shot, and then the rest is just Zord footage.
Well, New Zealand shot.
Well, New Zealand shot.
We all know what we mean.
English shot.
Well, that would imply it's shot in England.
I can't win.
I am an asshole.
really?
Well, you're the one who started this show.
I'm the one who made you watch Jungle Fury, too.
Yeah.
You also made us watch Armored Heroes.
Apparently, you know, Samurai.
Okay, now again,
off, so had,
with Armored had, Heroes, in my own defense, I didn't know how bad it was when I assigned it out.
I guess he figures because Samurai's not on, he has to make us suffer somehow.
He also Eco-Gander.
I missed that week.
Good, though. Eco-Gander was great. Even says so in the theme song. Paladin, I think you're the only one who had a problem with Eco-Gander.
I'll get you all back.
Okay, so going back to Geki Ranger differences, whereas this seemed to be the resolution to the RJ becomes a werewolf story arc, it actually continued on a little farther in Geki Ranger, to the point that later when Geki Violet was operating the Jungle Wolf Megazord all by himself, he actually turned into the werewolf during that process.
Oh, goody!
I believe that was omitted from Jungle Fury because, you know, they seem to have resolved that storyline.
And that would have been interesting to watch, so they couldn't have that in Jungle Fury.
And while in Jungle Fury, it was Fran's mortal terror at RJ that snapped him back to himself, in Geki Ranger, they had Flit, or Bai, whatever you want to call him, they had the little fly use his Geki power, which is to talk. And through some means or another, that fixed Geki Violet's werewolf problem. I never really understood that well in the first place, but...
Talking bugs, they're weird as crap.
You weren't here for the Jay episode, were you?
No.
Go watch Kamen Rider Jay, you'll understand
no.
that more.
And for that matter, go watch the first episode of Juco B Fighter.
No.
I'd rather not.
Stick to that instinct.
I was going to say something else, but I seem to have forgotten now. Oh, yeah, you know how you were saying who needs a team before? You know, in both series, Purple gets the ability to operate one of the Megazords all by himself. Which, you know, is handy for freeing up the other Rangers to use the newer, shinier Megazord, but still.
Yeah.
And in keeping with proud Japan traditions, makes the female member completely irrelevant.
For the first Megazord, at least.
Yeah.
She's still useful for the power-up Megazord. With her surfboard penguin.
Board. Oh, right. I'm only a quarter into Geki Ranger, so. Surfboard penguin. That actually sounds kind of awesome.
Well, you know, the penguin by itself is too small to be a leg, so they have the surfboard fold around it to make up the rest of the mass. Whereas Blue is just a gazelle.
That's boring.
I guess. Well,
so is Blue.
Yeah, well. And Blue size changes almost as much as Justin does.
Oh.
Well, you have to admit that was kind of bad casting.
Which version are we talking about here?
Jungle
I think
Fury.
Jungle Fury, but it's hard to tell.
Keep going back and forth.
Well, you know, in Geki Ranger, the actor heights were relatively correct to the suit heights.
Yeah.
Not so much in Jungle Fury. Not so much.
I couldn't really tell from this episode, but how... So, I guess...
What?
Blue...
Garbled for a second there. I kind of lost that part. Blue what?
Blue Ranger?
You started saying something about blue, and then...
Blue Ranger.
He was saying that he didn't catch...
The Blue Ranger.
If he was short or not in the show because of the...
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out if you're talking about Jungle Fury or Geki.
Oh.
We didn't really have any good shots of them standing all upright together in...
Yeah, because they didn't really focus on them very much.
Yeah, I guess not. But yeah, Blue in Jungle Fury is quite short. like a whole head shorter than Yellow.
Oops. Oh, wow. Yeah, but in... Oh, God. Geki Yellow is shorter than... Oh, okay.
So, you know, size changes more than Justin.
RPM seemed like it did a lot better with the suit actor matching up to the actors.
Well, and you know, they used less of the Sentai footage too.
Fury Blue.
Well, yeah, but I'm just talking about just the in the footage we had.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so anything else to
Holy crap.
Thank you, Formax.
Saving that one.
Smartest thing he said all night.
Hey!
New intro line.
Yes, Formax's sneeze will be an intro line at some point in the future. Well, okay. Like,
do you save these things in, like, specific folders?
Yes, I do. Broken down by who said them.
Awesome.
Like, some of the more interesting ones I have is Paladin's dog yelping in the background.
I remember that.
I got a couple of me burping.
A couple of burping.
When Kilby was on, I used a clip of him playing with his thingamajig for his part in the intro.
Yeah, I think you remember you mentioning that a few weeks back.
And now I've got Fort Max's sneeze.
Oh, goody.
For Hey Mickey, the closest thing I have that compares is when his microphone Cylons. Like, one time it was doing that, and he went, do-do-do-do-do. And that sounded funny, so I saved it. Not that funny.
So what you're saying is, Mickey makes less of a fool of himself than all the rest of us.
Mickey makes a fool of himself in a completely different way. Mickey,
by being on the show.
Mickey making a fool of himself is a little more highbrow than what the rest of us do.
That's what I figured.
You have to
That's
think about
because
it.
Because he has a Mac.
You gotta think about it a little bit more. You know who would really have a Mac? Zane. Because he's a douche too.
Yeah.
Only douches have Macs. And that's all I have to say
about
that.
Does that count?
I don't know. The whole thing about Mickey making a fool of himself being more highbrow made me think of just like tripping over something with your pinky out. I say,
very intellectual pratfalls.
Oh yes,
the best kind.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the best kind, but damn funny. So, anything else to talk about with the jungle thing?
I'm kind of glad I missed this season. What?
Well, you know, I like Geki Ranger a lot, so I kind of had to try to like Jungle Fury, but I like Geki Ranger better all the same.
At least Jungle Fury, even if they are very, very boring, did not try to make them carbon copies of the Geki Ranger Rangers.
Well,
that's
yeah,
I didn't really do anything with them.
Yeah, this is also true. But somehow that's less frustrating than in Samurai.
Well,
hoping with Samurai, the only reason it's pretty much a straight adaptation is because they didn't have much time to do anything else.
But they did have time, actually, it seems like, because it seems like they had a longer production lead time from when they got the rights back than they usually have on these things.
But it doesn't mean they had a lot of time before they wanted the show to start.
This is true also.
Right.
But, you know, I think the difference between the way Samurai is handling things and, like, Jungle Fury is that when you watch Jungle Fury, you don't feel like you're just watching an inferior version of the same thing you've already watched.
Yeah, it's average, but it's not offensive, I guess.
it's not very offensive anyway.
Not very offensive. It's just kind of there. It's not.
But I mean, it's a different thing they did. They went in a different direction with it, and you know,
right. It tries to be different, even though it doesn't do a damn thing while being different.
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, okay, it could have been worse, though. The episode they could have picked could have been after Rhino Ranger was introduced, and he's really irritating.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How irritating is really irritating?
Well, if I'm calling him really irritating after what you've seen in this episode...
Oh, my.
Compared even to characters like Fran... So I do admit I liked Flit.
With the return of Kelson Henderson.
Yet really? Again exploiting whatever blackmail material he had on Bruce Kalish.
I did not realize that was him.
I think that was the last series he worked on, wasn't it?
Well, considering that the first series he worked on was Kalish's first series, and this was Kalish's last series, that makes sense.
I guess there would seem to be some connection, wouldn't there?
Just a bit.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Whatever. Okay, so... for next week's show, we have, Masked Rider Double Returns, Eternal.
Yay!
Hopefully it'll be more interesting.
It's a pretty good movie.
Oh, it's interesting.
At the very least, it's not Movie Wars core.
No, God, no. My issues with Eternal are very small by comparison. My issues with Eternal are just nitpicking things.
And I don't think we'll get to hear about that because you're not going to be with us next week, are you?
Yeah. It's just small nitpicking things that I could probably explain away anyway.
Mm-hmm. But we'll have Wingus back next week, won't we?
Yay!
That was just wrong, man.
Obviously, what? He did not come here enough.
Okay, so next week we're doing the Eternal movie, and then all through August, it's another theme month.
Oh, boy.
And the theme this time is Battleizers.
Because that turned out so well last time.
Yeah, but the last one was movies, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Rider movies at that. That seems to be a much less winning proposition.
Especially we're watching episodes, it's 22-25 minutes.
What was it you said about the movies before at the end? It sounded like a good idea at the time.
Yeah,
a lot
sure,
of
whatever.
Things sounded like good ideas at the time.
But Battleizer episodes, there's some good ones.
Yeah, we're going to be starting with the first Battleizer episode. Shut up.
Which is anybody know which one it is?
It involves Psycho Rangers.
No.
Oh. It precedes something involving Psycho Rangers.
But it does not actually involve the Psycho Rangers themselves.
Mission to Secret City?
That's right.
Yep.
Congratulations. Step up and collect your prize of nothing.
Step up and collect your prize of getting to be here for that conversation.
That annoying little girl. I remember that episode quite vividly, actually, just for that reason.
Well, I've watched it recently, so I remember it pretty vividly, too.
Well, I just was watching through all of Space on Netflix also, so.
Well, there you go.
Hey.
Great.
What's worse, her or the Jungle Fury Rangers?
Her. At least the Jungle Fury Rangers are unassuming and just boring. She's annoying.
Of course, by the time Jungle Fury is made, the girl would have been old enough to be a ranger.
Don't suggest such things.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, she probably grew up ugly and wouldn't have been cast.
Wow.
Well, I'm sure she's not doing anything in acting anymore anyway.
Well, she never was.
Like... Okay, I can't top that one.
Yeah. Well, unless anybody has anything else to add, I think that'll be our show for this week.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Yeah, that's a cover, anyway.
That's the story of our show. Enough. That's the story of our show. That's good enough. Okay, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Later.
So long.
Yep.
Bye-bye, everybody.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
See an angry phone call within the next half hour. Not because of anything here, but apparently Mega Man Legends 3 is canceled.
Uh-oh.
Motherfuckers.
Uh-oh.
Well, or should I do the horrible
thing?
There's
the last vestiges of... Wait, they canceled that, but they can't cancel DMC? Motherfuckers.
No, wait, I'm going to take the initiative and not wait until that friend of mine hears it and ruin his day anyway.
Oh, so you're going to ruin your friend's day?
He owes me. He kicked me in the head after I met him.
What? I want to see what Slife's reaction is going to be.
Well, probably not quite as restrained as Ken's.
Motherfucker! There's no justice in the world left. Not at all.
Join me over here in the corner where we weep about Figure Arts Master Asia.
But
well, I guess I can't be. I'm not entirely surprised because that was Inafune's project, and a month later, Inafune quit. So.
But what's this kicking in the head thing?
You know. What?
This friend of mine, he's really big into wrestling, and when I met him, we were working at a call center. And to keep ourselves from going absolutely insane there, we would do all kinds of stupid things during our free time. One of these times, he was coming in the room, and he was doing some kind of stupid kick thing, and I was unfortunate enough to be in the way. And I sort of caught it in the head, and he knocked my glasses off. Wrong place, wrong time type of thing.
I once kicked my friend in the head when I was a kid. Accidentally.
Sure.
Oh, no. On purpose was when a kid started to shit with me in the bathroom and threw him across the room. But that's something else entirely.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.